This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Whoa.
That sounded so Seattle.
That was very pop punk grunge.
It was.
Yardley, are you a pop punk grunge fan?
No,
did that resonate?
I'm a closet hair metal fan.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
So that was close enough, I hope, maybe.
Load up another theme song, bud.
It's like the next incarnation of rock. Like you had hair metal, actually it was a very short period of time, and then it morphed into grunge and much more progressive stuff.
Yeah. And then where did you land on that timeline?
Well, I'm 54, right? So I love my 80s rock.
Yeah.
And my But I recently discovered, somebody said, "Okay, Yardley, if you were to put together a list of, you know, 10 songs you can't live without, what would it be?" And everything's in a minor key.
Ooh.
It's a very emo list with a little bit of Aretha Franklin.
Oh, that's nice. Which is also now dark.
Yeah. Mine is all Dashboard Confessional.
Oh, that's cool. So you would love that opening theme song. It was actually written by a guy in a band who's a full-time producer audio engineer named Brandon Peralta. His website is brandonperalta.com, and he runs Blockhead Gaming. I guess he's not part of a band. He's part of a YouTube channel. So thank you, Brandon Peralta.
All right.
Awesome.
And thanks to Yardley Smith for being here. What an honor.
Thank you for having me. I'm so amazed that you get a new theme song every show.
They're not all winners. They're not all that good.
Yeah. And it's not only one per show. We end the show with a different theme song.
That's unbelievable.
I don't know what we were thinking.
What an incredibly engaged audience you have.
They are way more talented than us, for the most part.
That's not what I said. Yeah.
But it is what you meant.
Yeah.
Lock the door.
I can always read the undertones.
That's unfair.
We usually save the plugs for the end, but why don't we just get right into it? Why the hell are you here? What are you talking about? It's not The Simpsons. I think enough people watch The Simpsons.
You're good there, right?
We're good. We can talk about The Simpsons, though. I feel like you can't really have me on a podcast or something that's mostly auditory, because sometimes they film podcasts, and not have me do Lisa Simpson.
Wow.
I was afraid to ask, but
everybody's afraid to ask, but you can't not do it. It wouldn't be right.
Cool.
I'm just gonna
throw my favorite quotes at you throughout the year.
Okay.
I'm playing it very cool, but Simpsons raised me. I didn't have much parents growing up. I have just VHS tapes of recorded Simpsons episodes.
You could do worse, dude.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
He's got two loving parents. He just chose The Simpsons.
Yeah. We'll get to you recording our voicemails later. But
okay, you'll be sorry, because people would just call and hang up.
Because they
call to hear
number.
The voicemail and go like, "That's so fucking cool." And then, yeah.
All right, I'll save my 100,000 Simpsons questions for later in the show. But what, you're doing a podcast now?
Yes. Yeah, so I have a true crime podcast that I
amazing
called Small Town Dicks.
That's funny.
Which is an amazing title. And I actually did a morning show the other day, and they weren't allowed to say dicks.
Oh.
On television.
Even though it's private eye?
I mean, that's what I said. I said, if you don't think of it in terms of Me Too context,
yeah.
but rather in terms of the noir slang in 1940 for detective, then you can say dicks. And they're like, no.
We can't say it.
You can say whatever you want on our podcast.
Thank you. I mean, that was the...
We'll bleep it out, but you can say whatever you want.
Fair enough. Probably best, anyway. So should just, like, edit my sentences together with about every fourth word.
Yeah, no, so we'll ask you a question, and I'll edit to you saying, dicks, which might actually be the answers to a lot of these questions. But is your true crime podcast a nonfiction?
Oh, yes. All of our cases are told by the detectives who investigated them.
Cool. Wow.
Which is, especially for podcasts, is a real point of difference. You get that a lot on television, much more.
Yeah.
And so I co-host with my best friend, Zibby Allen.
Who is she on The Simpsons?
She's not on The Simpsons. Huh. She's just...
Why are you what friends a waste. With her?
Yeah. I just...
Don't you know none of the people on The Simpsons socialize?
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, that's why we all still get along. No, that's I'm kidding. But it is true that we actually don't really hang out together.
Oh, right. But you guys record separately, right?
And some people even record from together.
Home? Oh, really?
Yeah, like an old radio play.
That's amazing.
That's just like
you
us.
Crank it out in 22 minutes. Mm. And then... Plus
yes.
commercials.
No. It takes 8 months to animate one episode.
What are they taking so long? Because I feel like I can crank one out in at least 6 weeks.
Probably.
8 weeks. And that's
just me. If you don't draw with your toes,
yeah.
probably you could go a lot faster, you know?
And they got a whole team of animators, I'm assuming.
Yes.
And a lot of it is reusable, right?
Well, now we went to computer animation in, I think it was season 12. And... the thing, it didn't actually speed anything up, as I understand. Not really. It made the backgrounds easier.
Oh, I see.
Which was good. And it gave you, instead of, 64 colors, you got literally a million colors.
The first Simpsons were only 64 colors?
Something like that. Whatever the standard spectrum for colors was in animation from forever until season 12.
Oh, my gosh.
It was that. And then they went to computer animation. Of course, you could have, the most granular little slices of the same shade.
Right.
So, but they still hand draw a lot of stuff. And especially if they're doing a Halloween episode, which is all the backgrounds are different, all the clothes are different.
Yeah.
There is no... cut and paste, slap it on, like paper dolls. It's not like that.
Yeah. I just want to ask you Simpsons questions.
Yep.
Anyway.
Chill out,
fanboy. We can mix them in.
All right. We'll pepper them in throughout. This is not just a Simpsons Q&A.
No.
But the Small Town Dicks, is you're doing a full season? You're doing two seasons?
Yes, we just launched our third season. We're only a year old.
Wow.
But we had our first season had I think it was 14 episodes, and we released them once a week.
Each episode a new
yes,
crime?
Yes, a new case.
Got it.
And we have several recurring guests, several recurring detectives. But the other two co-hosts of the podcast are identical twin detectives named Dan and Dave.
Really?
Who are both detectives in the same precinct.
Dan
in the
and
same
Dave.
Town. Yeah.
Private Eyes.
Brilliant. It's so brilliant. Dan investigates violent crimes, and Dave investigated sex crimes and child abuse, and he just was actually promoted to sergeant, so we're pretty happy for
wow.
that.
Oh, wow. I was totally imagining there's like a case of a missing chihuahua or some like sort of silly crime.
Oh, no.
This is hardcore.
And the funny thing is that the name was, we thought there would be a much more levity in it because Dan and Dave are actually incredibly funny, and there's a fair amount of gallows humor that goes into these law enforcement professionals processing their day-to-day because how else could you survive, right? Seeing the worst of humanity every time you leave your house.
Oh, my gosh.
And then we got into it and we realized, oh, no, it's much darker than we anticipated. And in order to give these cases and the victims and the whole scenario the reverence that it deserves, meanwhile, we're stuck with our name, Small Town Dicks, which we still really love. Even the acronym is bad, STDs.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Yeah, so we call our fans the Small Town Fam.
Nice.
And they really are fantastic. We have over 700 five-star reviews on iTunes.
Holy cow.
Like, they're so active.
That's awesome.
And we, Zibby and I decided, so Dan and Dave would tell us these stories about their day-to-day, and Zibby and I on, you know, one sort of tipsy vacation where we were, Zibby and I were with them, and we were all just sitting around, and we were all a little tipsy, and we're like, well, this should be a podcast. And then
that's how every podcast
that's
starts.
That's what I've heard. Everybody says that.
I'm funny. I could have a podcast. Right?
I got drunk and I started a podcast.
Yes.
What did I do last night? You check your iTunes. Oh, no. Eight reviews.
Oh, God. So we then 6 weeks later, we were like, yeah, we can do this. And so we, of course, had no idea what we were doing. And we decided we wanted it to be highly curated, sort of like This American Life. Mm. As opposed to more free form where Zibby and I do most of the talking. We're like, no, we want the case to be the star. And it turned out to be incredibly fascinating to hear how these detectives get from A to Z. Like when you read it in the paper or hear it on the news, you get, you know, a dot. You get the not even barely the tip of the iceberg. So to hear the investigation from soup to nuts and all of the obstacles and all of the boxes you have to check in order to do it right so that you haven't violated anybody's rights so that your case, if it goes to trial, stands up in court, all of those things, it is... it's a lot of heavy lifting.
Have you found that it's similar to like what we see on TV? Like, is True Detective accurate, or is it like, no, that's a glamorized version? A lot of it is just paperwork, and
it's a lot of paperwork, which is incredibly just
exciting. I mean, oh, I love paperwork.
But you know what really floored us was how long it takes to get DNA results.
How long does it take?
It can easily 9 months.
Oh, really?
Easily 9 months. And wow. You could be the guy or the female detective who's like, no, you don't understand. This guy will rape again, or this guy will kill again, or woman, if we don't get these definitive results. And the DNA lab, now that we rely on it so heavily, is so backed up. And a lot of states, not California, because we have huge metropolitan areas, but a lot of states that aren't as populated as we are, have one DNA lab for the entire state.
Oh, my God. What the heck? You can animate a Simpsons in less than it takes to analyze DNA.
Yes.
You know what? Give me the DNA next time, because I really feel like I can do it in 4 to 6 weeks.
You have an overconfidence issue. You think in 6 to 8 weeks you can animate an episode of The Simpsons and do DNA analysis?
Probably.
How hard is it? It's A to T and C to G or something, right? And I feel like once you figure that out.
I just, you know.
Did Lisa the Vegetarian feel as important... when you were recording it as it was when it came out? And did you meet Paul McCartney and Linda McCartney?
No, sadly. So that show was, David Merkin was our showrunner at the time. And he actually went to their farm. I believe they have a farm in Surrey, England, or they used to, where they also have a recording booth. And David went by himself. I was not invited. I was really, really disappointed in that. And I think it was definitely... after the fact that I learned that both of them insisted they would only do the show if Lisa remained a vegetarian for the rest of the length of the series.
Wow.
And so when I heard that, I realized that that was significant. And to their incredible, their enormous credit, the writers have held to that. And occasionally they put Lisa in a situation where, like we had an episode a couple years ago where she ate bugs. And she didn't know if that meant that she was going back on her vegetarian, you know, her lifestyle. She thought, is that cheating? Is because they're not really animals.
Right. I think even vegans give you a pass on straight up bugs.
Oh, they do?
I think so.
Because you don't get a pass on butter.
Is this?
As a vegan.
Yeah, no.
Or eggs.
Boo.
Or
beef.
That. You can't even have lamb.
You can't even eat the small ones.
You kicked a dog on your way to work.
Yeah, but I didn't eat him. Wait, is that the
You're
level?
You're chewing a cattail.
As a joke. For Yardley.
Oh, thanks.
All right. I searched our email account for The Simpsons. Maybe someone had a Simpsons-related question
for you. Think?
And there were a few that came up. This one was my favorite. We give these people fake names just to preserve their anonymity. And this is a 20-year-old
girl.
That's
what we do on our... True Crime Podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we change all the names, and we never say the places, and none of the detectives, we never say their last names.
Oh, that's smart. So this is a 20-year-old girl from Melbourne, Australia. Ooh. Do you have a fake name just so we can refer to this lady as something, anything, maybe a name from your life, or if you want to make one up?
Oh, for her?
Yeah.
Oh, Yeah, how about Penelope?
That's good.
It's pretty.
Penelope writes, I'm a 20-year-old girl from Melbourne, Australia, and I'm a huge Simpsons fanatic. I have all the DVDs, own countless items of Simpsons clothing and jewelry, and used to do a Simpsons quote of the day on my social media. I also create Simpsons art at Homer J. Simps on Instagram if you'd care to check it out. Anyway, I started a new class at uni, and I didn't know any of my peers. I was okay with this because I make friends quite easily. I have attended this class 3 times, each class being 3 hours long. During this time, some of my peers have noticed my Simpsons obsession. This resulted in a particularly loud-mouthed guy starting to call me Simpsini. I was okay with this because I thought it was funny. However, recently the rest of these circle jerkin' divas in class have taken to name-calling a little bit too far. I've even been called El Farto. It's pretty funny. I barely speak during this class, and none of these people know me very well. I've stopped wearing anything slightly Simpsons-related to this particular class. I have this class again in a few days, and I feel like ditching. So, Amir, how do I stop this name-calling?
She wasn't asking me?
No, they assume you haven't been ridiculed in your life. Yeah. Do I stop going to class altogether or risk failing the subject? You can put me on blast, make me feel bad about my past, but help me get through this class before I kick yo damn ass. Thanks. Love, Penelope. So that Penelope is in a quandary. She's too much of a Simpsons fan, if you can believe it.
How cool for her. She had no idea that Yardley Smith would ever be on our podcast.
We waited for this one moment.
This is
so really... Lisa herself could answer it. I'm sure you've experienced Simpsons fanaticism beyond what this is. Just like a few pieces of jewelry, clothing, and some DVDs.
Oh, yeah. We've seen full body tattoos. I have a great story of a waiter who I was in Vegas a few years ago. Used to make shoes in Italy. I had a shoe company for 5 years.
And wow.
There are 2 shoe shows a year in Las Vegas. And I ordered room service, and the waiter showed up, and I was by myself. And he goes, oh, my God, I knew it was you. And already I'm like on high alert.
Oh, no.
And he says, I saw the ticket come out, and I saw your name.
Oh, no.
And I said, I'll take this order. So he comes, he brings it up, right? Brings me my club sandwich, puts it down on the table, goes, I just have to show you something. And he starts to pull up his pant leg.
You assume it's a gun?
And
I thought Lisa was a vegetarian.
How dare you?
You're supposed to stay in character for Paul.
For everyone, all the time. And he has Simpsons tattoos all the way up his calf and his shin, and like little things, like the nuclear
statue.
Power plant.
Oh, that's cool.
Lisa and her saxophone and Homer and various things and all the characters, and he starts to pull his pant leg up higher and higher. I'm like, okay, you could stop at the knee. We're good.
Yeah.
That's good. Because it was going to go on, and there were outlines and more
I believe
things,
you, there are more tattoos.
Yeah. I think there's a Krusty the Clown somewhere in the middle there.
There, I saw a guy with Krusty the Clown tattooed all over his chest and his belly, and his Krusty's belly button was his belly button.
Krusty's belly button.
Yeah, that was a lot. That's just a lot. Anywho,
that's the one tattoo
Penelope.
I think you would get a Simpsons tattoo.
I was thinking of getting a Milhouse on my butt.
What?
Oh,
yeah. I like Milhouse.
You do?
A lot. Yeah, I like the way he looks, the way he talks, the way he acts, and so and you know, as a glasses guy with
blue hair
myself, I was like, oh, if I ever get a tattoo, it'd be fun to have Milhouse.
Milhouse could take a few pointers from you.
Yeah.
To be a little bit cooler, maybe Lisa Simpson would actually give him the time of day.
That's right, Thrill House, or poor Ralphie Wiggum, maybe.
He's lost. He's kidding. My cat's breath smells like cat food, is what Ralph Wiggum says.
Do you do any other voices on the show?
I do an old woman named Mrs. Glick once in a while. Although they have killed her off and resurrected her, I think, just to have a laugh at my expense. Because it's pretty terrible. Yeah, it's pretty terrible. Anyway,
back to
Penelope.
Lady.
Her life hangs in the balance.
Penelope, what should you do? Well,
you definitely shouldn't give up the course and succumb to peer pressure.
No.
I guess I feel like, so she says she hardly talks in this class, and people are just ganging up on her. That's such a hard place to be. I certainly had my fair share of bully encounters when I was a kid.
Where did you grow up? The
Washington,
mean streets
DC?
Of D.C.
I did.
Was it as dangerous as it sounds?
I think pockets of it, you know, but not where I lived. I live in a, of course, nice middle-class neighborhood. But I did take 3 city buses to school.
Wow.
It's just a different time, you know, and your mom would send you out to play, and we had a cowbell. she would ring the cowbell when it was dinner time, and that meant get your ass back in here, and it's time for dinner.
Wow.
But you just were gone for hours at a time.
Classic Americana.
Yeah.
I miss that.
And then other mothers got cowbells, so you had to actually learn to distinguish your own.
Mm.
Which was a lot. I felt like a lot
just
like
find
being
yourself
a pet.
Wandering up to strangers' houses. Shit.
Shit.
Sorry.
Oh, dinner.
My mom has that. Just give me a meatloaf and we'll call it a day. So, do you think this girl should embrace it? Do you think she should maybe stop wearing as much Simpsons or lean into it even more heavily? Tell the haters go
get the
F
crusty
themselves.
Tattoo.
Yeah, kick it up a notch. I like the El Fardo nickname. Maybe she can embrace
that.
It's
so hard.
Somewhere.
I mean, I think if you, because you don't want to not lean into your passion altogether and acquiesce to the people who are giving you a shitty time, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to feel like they won.
Yeah.
Right. But at the same time, you don't want to be so isolated that you are just, you really are isolated. I don't know. Help me out here. What do you
do? It's kind of tough because, like, almost no matter what you do, you did because you were getting bullied.
Right.
Yeah.
You either
right.
double down and you have more Simpsons stuff.
Right.
Or you stop dressing up altogether, but like either way the bullies chose the course.
Or maybe you do
just like don't break stride at
that's
all.
That's right. Living well is the best revenge of
yes.
the nerds. So you keep it going, you embrace it, you don't let it get to you. What is name calling? Name calling is so bad, but what is it? It doesn't matter. It's just words. It just sounds.
And I feel like if somebody calls you a name and it irks you, then I always feel like there's something inside of you that feels like they might be right about that. Because,
right.
for instance, if somebody says to me, Yardley, you're really not that smart because I didn't go to college, right?
Uh-huh. Me either.
Then
cool.
I just feel like...
Oh, you guys just missed a fist bump.
That doesn't land on me at all because I feel like I'm pretty life smart and I have certain strengths in... academics in some places and not in others, and I'm okay with it.
Right.
So that insult will never get you anywhere with me. But if you say to me, Yardley, you're not that pretty, then that was always an area that I was really, I was very much in doubt about for most of my life. So that would make me go, oh shit, oh God, okay, what do I look fat? And then I would start to, so if there's something about them saying that she's a nerd or a dork for loving The Simpsons so much, then I wonder if there's just some tiny piece of Penelope that makes her feel as though she should have other interests, which is absurd.
Yeah. Don't let the haters win, Penelope.
Don't let the haters win, Penelope.
And don't let them win, Yardley. I assure you, you're prettier than you are smart.
Beautiful. Beautiful and dumb.
Ow, that hurt. That was such a backhanded compliment. Thank you.
No, that's just the name of Jake's autobiography.
One last thing on Penelope. I think you touched on this too, that she doesn't talk a lot during class. So maybe if she just doesn't let these guys affect her and she just starts talking more during class, they'll, one, find something new to make fun of her for,
mm-hmm.
or realize that she's like more, like she's got bigger interest than just The Simpsons, and then they can talk to her about those things. But
yeah.
if she's quiet and wears Simpsons gear, there's not really anything for people to react to.
Yeah.
If they're like looking to react to something.
Jake saves the day.
That's isn't that the classic
that
way
was
that it
amazing.
Goes? So you do listen to this show.
That's so good.
All right, let's answer some more questions. But
okay.
First, I want to take a break, thank some sponsors, and we'll be back with more questions and answers with Yardley after this.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes. Yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah. I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog. And it is a slog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. Like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Wow. Very exciting.
Jake, did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they just completely forgot about?
I did know that, but only because we've done one of these ads before, and I was floored when I found out.
Yeah, streaming content, you download an app to learn a thing, and then 13 months later, you're paying $6.95 for a flexibility course that you haven't taken since 2022. Mm-hmm.
You're stiff as a board. I mean, my God.
That's going to happen. Well, thank you, because Rocket Money is a personal finance app.
That's right.
That finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower those bills so you can grow your savings.
Beautiful.
Rocket Money sort of scours your bill. They say, get rid of this, this, that, and the other, and then you can suddenly find yourself with some extra cash in your pocket.
Exactly right.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions. Holy smokes.
Really good.
An average of $740 a year when you use the app's robust features. You found some stuff on Rocket Money that you canceled, right?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, you don't have to name names, of course, but like what? You saved, I thought you said close to $1,500, $1,600 a month?
That's, hey, easy does it.
A lot of gray area, okay. Quasi-legal,
no,
kind
no.
of dangerous subscriptions that Rocket Money me. Found.
That wasn't me.
And canceled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually now I want them back.
I'm scared without them. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments. That's rocketmoney.com/segments, rocketmoney.com/segments. Thank you, Rocket Money.
And we're back. Lisa Simpson is such an important character because, it, to me, it's kind of what separates The Simpsons from like a show like Family Guy, where it's like Lisa's the heart of the show. She's the soul of the show. She's the mind of the show. It's the way of like these smart writers to flex their intellectual muscles. And it's all filtered through this sweet 8-year-old girl. Did it feel like that important when you were auditioning for it back, gosh, when was it, 30-something years ago?
87, I think we started on the Tracy Ullman show. No, at all. I mean, Lisa wasn't, she wasn't really a person until we went to Half Hour.
That's right.
She was just sort of a bratty sister to Bart, who was the star, because, you know, the Simpsons is based on Matt Groening's own family. So Bart is an anagram for brat, and that's Matt.
Nice.
He has a sister named Maggie, a sister named Lisa. His mother's name is Margaret, and his father's name is Homer.
Oh, wow.
And his grandfather's name is Abe.
Oh, my gosh.
Like Grandpa. So so Lisa...
What a coincidence.
What do you know? And there is a story which is apparently true and not an urban myth that... When Matt, so Jim Brooks was, James L. Brooks, our executive producer, was a big fan of Life in Hell, which is Matt's syndicated cartoon that he's had forever, the comic with
Inky
the bunny,
and Blinky,
the, yeah, Blinky, the one-eyed, the one-eared bunny,
rabbit, yeah,
and so Matt, Jim Brooks wanted Life in Hell for these little what we called bumpers on the Tracy Ullman show. We would do, like, I think it was. Four 30-second segments or something, or we did four segments a show, and we would tell a whole story in those four segments. And Matt was then informed as he was on his way to his meeting with Jim Brooks that if you give them Life in Hell, then you no longer own the IP, right? Mm. So if the show succeeds, great, you'll be, it's mailbox money, it's great, and you'll have it. Yeah. But once the show is over, you won't, it won't be your livelihood anymore. And if the show fails, then your livelihood is immediately wiped out.
Because they took it, stole it, and then
yes,
they're gone.
And we own it. And gone thank you very much.
Wow.
And off you go. So he in the waiting room of Jim Brooks's office, he drew The Simpsons on a napkin.
What the heck?
And named them after his family.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
So he's like, yeah, no, I got this other cartoon.
Yeah.
It's about
yeah.
a fucking dad named Homer and
yeah.
Maggie, the baby.
Exactly.
Anyway, it'll
be funny.
He doesn't
talk. Yeah. Anyway.
We'll figure it out in 30 years, but it sounds pretty good, right?
Yeah,
out,
really
huh?
good. So Lisa wasn't, she was just, you know, the bratty little sister until we went to Half Hour. And then Jim Brooks decided he wanted her to be... extraordinarily brilliant.
Super well-read for
really,
literally an eight-year-old.
Yeah, that she would be, as you say, the intellect. And she really does embody all the writers. Also, their emotional angst growing up because they were all the biggest nerds and the smartest people in the room.
Right.
And they didn't know where they fit in. And so they work out all of their childhood angst at Lisa Simpson. It's
yeah.
a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, you're like their therapist.
I am.
It's like that episode where Bart gets really good at hockey. It's like, Bart gets to sit up front today because he's a good guy at sports.
Right.
That's like all what they heard, all the writers heard growing up. And then
that's right.
Lisa takes it up. You know, at the end
that's
of the day,
right.
the nerds get their revenge.
That's of course. But and at the same time, though, I think in if you met them, you go, oh, it makes complete sense. Every time they give something to Lisa Simpson, by the end of the show, they've taken it from her.
Yeah.
Whether it be a friend or a pony or an achievement.
That's right.
Yeah.
But like the sweetest episodes were like the ones where like Lisa and Homer finally bond. Like that's
the
like
best.
The shows
yeah.
where it's like, oh, now it's I'm feeling touched out of this cartoon that's like 95% silly.
Yes.
All right, now you have to ask a small town Dicks question.
When you meet the Dicks, sorry, an episode. Now let's try to answer some more questions. Maybe some more stuff will come out of there. This
right,
one's about farting. So this one, the first one's about the Simpsons. This one is more in my wheelhouse.
Okay.
Do you have a name for this lady who is in a bit of a fart crisis?
Oh.
Or a shit pickle,
Captain
if you will.
Farto.
Oh, a shit
oh, yeah, El Farto.
El Farto. Okay.
El Farto. I like that. All right. El Farto writes, holy shit, I'm in a crisis and I need your help. Last night, my boyfriend of several months and I were snuggled underneath the covers, chatting and having a good time. All was well until the most horrific, unbelievable smell hit my nose. I quickly realized it was a fart. A fart. But not just any fart. This was a colossal, I've never smelled anything before this bad in my life fart. Both of us lost the ability to speak. Out of our bodies were completely frozen, eyes watering, head turning away in agony. Now, normally I would have laughed it off. However, my boyfriend and I haven't gotten to the point of being comfortable farting around each other yet. So I don't know what to say. We both just sat there trying to pretend like we weren't smelling the worst thing in the world. But that's not the worst part. The worst part is, I don't know which one of us farted. I don't know whose butt it came out of. I truly have no idea. So there I was lying in the bed for the next hour trying to figure out who farted. This could be a good one for your murder mystery show.
Knew it would come back.
Because here's the thing. I did have gas that night, I admit it. But I thought that fart couldn't possibly be from me. So trying to think on my toes, I let out a quick toot outside the cover to check the status of things.
Oh my God.
Wow.
And boy, oh boy, it smelled terrible. So, conclusion, it could have been me, but also it could have been him. We had the same food that night, so there isn't enough evidence to make a firm conclusion. I also don't remember farting before that smell happened. Usually I'm very sneaky, spreading my butt cheeks apart in order to create a tube effect with my anus, letting out a fart seep out silently.
I cannot believe the level of thought.
It's a lot of information.
It's not TMI. It's just a good amount of EMI. But I didn't do it that night. It is possible that the fart could have snuck out. Is it possible that the fart could have snuck out without me noticing? So now I don't know what to do.
Get Dave and Dan on the horn.
I wish I would have said something in this moment. And now I don't know how to bring it up again. Should I apologize? Should I point fingers? How do I broach this topic? Also, is there any way we could start farting around each other? I'm really tired of holding my butt cheeks apart every time I need to pass gas. He always asks me what I'm doing, and it's weird.
Yeah.
Thanks, love, El Farto. Wow, what a story. What a tale he wove.
She wove.
Right, she wove. I just, when I'm hearing about fart jokes, I just assume it's a man. It's
sure.
nice to hear one from a female perspective.
Well, if your relationship hasn't moved past the who farted in bed and created the Dutch oven
phase
yet, then perhaps it's not a relationship that's going to that's longed for this world.
Yeah, you break the seal quite quickly.
It seems like at a certain point, somebody's going to fart and you're going to look at each other and you're going to giggle and go, oh, sorry. And then we're done. We're moving on to the next thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just me.
You do have to, I think you got to do it quickly. But to me, there's like a difference between just like a loud comic fart and then a stenchy fart.
Yeah, the silent like, but violence.
I can break a horn toot into a relationship right away.
Because it's funny, it's loud, it's abrasive, it's everything you want to be. but it's not silent and quiet and reeks of shit, which is everything you don't want to be. Right. Yeah.
Is there a question in El Farto's email?
The question is, do I broach the topic? Is it possible it could have been me? Oh, that's an interesting question within it. Have you ever farted and not noticed?
No, I think it was him. It was clearly him. And you know when you fart.
Unless you forget.
I think you do.
Sometimes my girlfriend's like, did you fart? I'm like, oh, maybe. But it happens so involuntarily that I don't remember.
But like, I bet when you say maybe, then it probably wasn't you.
Probably was me.
I fart all the time, but I know every time that I do.
It's almost like, did you just yawn? It's like, oh, maybe I did just yawn, but I don't remember because it's so involuntary.
You need to come back and live in the moment a little bit more here.
Yeah, I'm always on the Twitters, the Instagrams. Farts and yawns are coming, it's seeping out of me. Gas and liquid in every direction.
I could attest to that, working across from him.
Yeah.
I think that the weirder thing here than like it farting in front of him, if you're not sure that it's you, the weirder thing is to bring it up days later.
Yeah.
So like, if you're trying to save face, don't do it by broaching this topic. And who knows when this question was even written.
Indeed. You know, is there a date on that email?
Yeah, August 30th, 2018.
Oh, good God.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's a full month later.
And they can still smell the fart. The rumble still roars, echoes off the walls.
Something's been eating away at me.
So should I apologize? Should I point fingers? You say just let bygones be bygones.
Well, at this point.
Let it go.
Let it dissipate as the fart has done.
That's
indeed
beautiful. The Simpsons didn't really ever address farting. You'd think they would have at some point. Homer or Bart let one rip as a joke.
I feel like Nancy has, who does the voice of Bart, you know, she does a great fart sound into her elbow.
I used to get in trouble imitating Bart doing that.
The armpit.
So maybe as a prank, I can't remember if we've actually ever done anything where their fart was so lethal people were passing out and stuff.
That's more of a Ren and Stimpy thing.
I don't think so. That seems more Family Guy like.
Yeah. I wonder if that was ever like a writer's code. It's like Homer doesn't need to fart. He's already dumb enough. He's not like the kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny to think that I'm almost Homer's age.
How old is Homer?
I grew up, The Simpsons started like when I was Bart's age, and now I'm roughly Homer's. Homer's 37, I believe. Or maybe
Homer's 37.
Yeah, that's probably about right.
And I'm
Lisa's
35.
Lisa's 8, and every time she has a birthday, she turns 8, and we just don't talk about that.
Yeah, so in theory, she was 7 right before that birth.
Yeah,
that
just for
started.
That, well, just for a few minutes in that episode.
Yeah.
You know, and
You see these Simpsons super fans, people just assume that you are a Simpsons fan, but it's not necessarily the case, right? Like, you're not necessarily a fan of the show just because you're on it, right? Do you watch The Simpsons? Do you like The Simpsons? Do you consider like certain seasons better of The Simpsons? Or is it more of a job for you?
No, it's definitely more of a job. It's I guess what I don't have is an encyclopedic knowledge of our show the way some fans do, which they find incredibly disappointing.
Right, because they're watching it a lot. You're not necessarily watching
it. I don't
old episodes.
Watch it to the extent that they do. I don't. You know, we've had a couple of Simpsons marathons. I haven't watched the Simpsons marathons.
And then are there episodes that you haven't seen since you recorded?
Oh, yeah. Lots.
Like Lisa at the Beach House. Do you remember?
I love
that
one. The Summer of 4'2".
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Grown up men like Gore Vidal. And he's got smarter boys than I have.
He's and Lisa Simpson, I believe, is one of the best female characters ever created for any medium, to
right.
be honest.
She was kind of feminist
of being,
before it was cool. Like,
yes.
In the early 90s when people didn't necessarily fight for that yet.
And sometimes feminism, even now, is a bad word, I think. I think less so now, and certainly with the Me Too movement, there is some of the curse of being a feminist has come off as well.
Yeah.
But I think there was a misinterpretation about feminism. I think people felt like, oh, you burn your bra and you hate men.
Right,
and
that feminists are angry.
Exactly. You just want to emasculate everybody who's not like you. And I don't think true feminism is that. I don't think it fits that definition at all. So
right. Marge burns a bra.
What season does she?
Yeah, it's like a flashback. She has long hair. She's like a hippie in the 70s. She burns a bra and it like combusts instantly.
Right. It would, of course.
All right, let's try to see if we can answer another question. This one is written from a man. Wait, no, another lady. Do you have another lady's name? Maybe a Simpsons character that didn't necessarily become as iconic as Lisa.
Oh, Maude.
Maude Flanders?
Yeah.
Wow. Nice.
You're good. You're good, Blumenfeld. You're too good.
The Simpsons even made fun of like the nerds, where it's like at Comic-Con, it's like the guy brings up a continuity error that the writers don't even know about. That feels like that was pulled directly from their life.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Maude writes, "Hey, guys. So occasionally, once or twice a year, I have lucid dreams of my ex-first love from many years ago. These dreams come randomly, even when I'm not thinking of him beforehand. It's so annoying because I wake up emotionally disoriented, even though I'm waking up next to my current partner, who I love with all my heart. This usually leads me to feeling that urge of social media stalk them a little. I know in my heart I do this because I'm simply curious about their life, and I have no desire to reach out or even be romantic again. What are your thoughts on social media stalking exes? Or more importantly, specifically, your first love? Is there a healthy limit, maybe once a year? Is it subconsciously harming my current relationship? Are first loves an exception to the rule? Am I a bad girlfriend? I often can't help but feel guilty occasionally doing it, even though I'm not lusting for them anymore. Thanks so much for your wisdom. Love, Maude."
Maude. First of all, I don't think dreams are literal.
Mm-hmm. At all.
I think that they're more often than not metaphors. And so one, and I feel like we don't have the whole story. Like, how did you and your first ex break up, right? Was it a good breakup? Was it a bad breakup? So if you're stalking your ex, my first thought is, what do you think you're missing, or what do you think you missed?
You don't think it can't just be pure curiosity? Like, what the hell is that person up to?
Yeah, but curiosity is about something I don't know.
Yeah.
What? The publicist is just dropping shit left and right over here.
There was a funny moment where he dropped his phone, lifted it back up, went to put it on the table, missed, and dropped it instantly again.
We can edit that out, but I think we should leave this description in because it's really funny.
Jay couldn't help but giggle in his face.
Sorry, man.
You should have done it again.
Over there.
If I did it twice, I would have just done it 3, 4, 5 times. Time started like throw people off
and
the
set. And then start kicking the table.
Yeah. Excuse yourself, fall down the stairs, tumble into the street.
Homer style.
So back to the definition of curiosity is about you need to find something out that you think you don't know.
Right. So do you ever social media stalk exes?
No.
Never? You're not curious at all as to what they're up to?
No.
Interesting.
No.
That's good on you. What about you, Jacob?
All the time. I don't know. Like, I guess this just speaks to a larger theme of our show where, like, this girl has had a dream about her ex and she feels racked with guilt. And she's like, I looked at his Instagram. Should I do that? Should I try to do that, like, less than once a year? Meanwhile, like, I am on my phone falling into every thirst trap imaginable.
Yeah.
Every guy is looking at so much salacious shit on Instagram and on Facebook.
Digging up, like, garbage.
Yeah, this is fine. I think she clearly has it in check. I think it's only a problem if you like start to pine for the guy, right?
Yardley?
Yes. Well, but to your point where you said she's asking us if how many times a year, that means she's already worried that the desire is stronger than her ability to control it.
Mm.
And that is really the crux of the issue. What's at the root of I can't let that go?
What is it often? Is it something? So is it more lust than she's letting herself on to be, or can it be something else? Could there be curiosity?
It's something
without?
Unresolved, whether it's lust or you owe me an apology or I owe you an apology or I'm afraid you don't like me or whatever the myriad of reasons could be.
That's why this guy's turning up in her dreams. That it wasn't like a complete breakup. There's something that needs
And why she closure. Didn't just call her best friend or even say to her current partner, go, I can't believe I dreamed about my ex. I don't even like that guy, or I never think about that guy, or that was so weird to me, and then it's over and we don't even get this email.
Yeah.
Or you, right. rather.
Have you ever lucid dream, like woken up within the dream within the dream?
I used to sleepwalk.
What?
Yeah, and I...
That's scary. That shit scares the hell out of me.
Well, it scared the hell out of my second husband, too. and I used to laugh in my sleep, which was very charming. That, I would laugh and talk.
Laugh and talk?
Yeah.
My wife laughs in her sleep sometimes, and it creeps me the fuck out.
It creeped him out, too.
Yes, of course, because that's like how horror movies start. You're like in bed alone, and then you hear like... like that's what people do when they're about to stab you or something.
Yes,
exactly. Then you look over to your partner, and his eyes are just closed, or her eyes are just closed, or like maybe a little bit open, so you just see the whites of their eyes. Is it a crack up? Is it a giggle? Is it a... Guffaw?
I think sometimes it was a giggle and sometimes it was a full on.
Oh my God.
You ever dream as Lisa?
No.
Of course.
I did spend a summer in France when I was 16 and I started to dream in French, which is apparently some measure of how fluent you're getting.
Wow. Yeah,
I have a friend that's fluent. I like always ask him like what language he's
dreaming in.
It's, what does he say?
He dreams in like Portuguese, Spanish, and Polish.
Wow.
And like never English. This is Eddie, who we stayed with in Lisbon.
Yeah.
Really?
That's cool.
That's fantastic.
I speak Hebrew, but I never dream in Hebrew.
You never dream in Hebrew?
I would never dream of it.
Nice. What about like when you dream of your parents? Don't they speak to you in Hebrew?
Never, ever have those two cowards seeped into my subconscious. Because they control my every waking moment. I love my mommy and my daddy. And they don't have to be in my dreams because they're in my life.
Holy shit.
And do they speak to you in Hebrew?
Oh, all the time.
Oh.
Okay. Problem is, I don't understand a word they're saying in my dreams. Well, no, I understand. I'm fluent. I'm just being silly. Thank you so much for coming by. It's been 45 minutes. If you
oh, my God.
It.
Really?
It's just flown by talking to you. Gleaning your wisdom from you and then throwing back Simpsons questions
sarcastic.
In your face.
Don't worry about the wisdom.
We don't have...
we do think you're wise. We don't normally have wise people on the show. It's usually just us.
Yeah. Or maybe an occasional dumbass friend. So say the name of your podcast again.
Small Town Dicks.
Small Town Dicks, season 3.
Has just launched now. We have 2 other seasons, which is a total of about 29 episodes.
Yep.
To listen to, and you can get it everywhere you love to listen. iTunes, Spotify, Google Play.
That's the beauty of podcasts, right?
What?
You don't have to go to a specific place. Anybody can consume
That's
it
true.
On their own time and their own schedule in their
That's
own special
exactly
way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Do you listen to podcasts? Are you a true crime
I
podcast?
Do.
Is that how this started? Because you're like, oh, I love true crime.
I love true crime because I've been thinking about this a lot because people have asked me, and I realize, you know, every crime is a breach of trust. So when you lock your house at night, you feel like, well, nobody's going to break into my house, and then they do. Or if somebody that you know or you don't know, but who you assume isn't going to harm you, harms you, that's an enormous breach of trust. And society can't function without some level of trust. And so I'm fascinated. I was a really good kid. I followed all the rules. So I'm fascinated and really don't understand how you get to the point where you are willing to implement this massive breach of trust, either with somebody that you know or somebody that you don't, that would change your life immeasurably for the worse forever.
Oh my gosh.
I don't understand it.
I'm going to subscribe to your show now.
You should. It's actually really good. And if I thought it was silly, I'd say it's silly, but it's really very beautifully done.
I like me some true crime. I'm gonna check it out.
So exciting.
You.
Well, thank you for coming
Thanks
by.
For having me.
Of course.
Thank
anytime. Come on
awesome.
Back whenever. Next
okay.
week, this week, the following week, whatever.
I'm gonna come.
If you have your own question, Yardley, or anybody listening at home, you can send it to ifireyoushow@gmail.com. Send those opening and closing theme songs as well. This closing one is written by Anderson Reagan. So thank you to the gentleman who wrote the opening theme song. Thank you to Anderson. Thank
Whose
you.
Whose name
again.
You forgot totally.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah. He wasn't on The Simpsons, so I don't even think about him. We'll call him Armin Tenzarian, which was Principal Skinner's real name, of course.
Let's play the song.
Oh,
okay.
Wow,
we'll see
deep.
You next week, everybody.
If I were you,
That was a HeadGum Podcast.